right now, and I thank him for that. So I pray you give him, Brother George, you come, and you give him your undivided attention. And after he shares, I'm going to share just the verse with you. And the Lord's put on my heart. And Brother George, you come and you do what the Lord leads, okay?
Good evening. A lot of people here Sunday night. Ms. Eloise, you might have to come up here and help me take up the slack. Earlier when Tony was leading the music, my wife leaned over and asked me, she said, "Are you preaching tonight?" With fear in my eyes, I said, "Uh-huh." She said, "Well, that's good for you." So, preacher, you need to be talking to my wife. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 13:5, that we should examine ourselves, to test ourselves. And I've done that this week. With the Word of God, with this chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, I've used the Word of God to just look at my life. And I was found guilty. Guilty. That's hard to say, but that's the truth. I found myself worrying about the future. Does anybody here have problems with worrying? Do you worry? Do you worry? I hope I'm not here by myself. I know this message is for me, but I feel like it's for others also. Christ is clear here in chapter 6 that as Christians, we should not worry. You know, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't kill and we shouldn't steal. Well, you know, that's we can kind of handle that. But when he says, don't worry, hey, that's tough. How do you not worry? Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the service tonight, Lord, for the song service, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that we can glorify you through song. Father, I just praise you for the service this morning, Lord, for speaking to me, Lord, for touching my heart, Lord, for helping me just to let some things go, Lord. I praise you for that, Lord. I just pray for this message. I pray you anoint it with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, clear our minds right now. Help us to forget about everything else, and help us just to hear your word, what you've got to say for us, Lord, and help us just to grow by it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been praying this week. Here's 10 scriptures here, Matthew 25 through 34. Which scriptures are you? And now the preacher's done told me that he wants equal time. Well, I hate to tell y'all this, but I chose to use all 10 of these scriptures. I couldn't figure out which one the Lord wanted me to use, so we're just going to use all 10 of them. So we might be here a spell. But Jesus spoke these words some 2,000 years ago. But they right on target for us today. Right on target. Is that not of God or what? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Are we caught up in this or what? Are we worried about our lives? Yes. The truth is, yes, we're worried about it. We're so caught up in the things. And it's not just simple as this right here. It's not just about eating and drinking and clothes. It's about our jobs. It's about our families. It's about our houses, our cars. what else? Or boats or guns. I could go on and on and on and on. We're worried about things. And Christ tells us not to do that. He's clear. And hey, He's not beating around the bush right here. He makes it clear. Do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Does anybody know what today is? Today is a tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Think about that. Today is a tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Christ says. Look at verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus also tells us in verse 24 here, He says, our treasure will be in one or two places. If we invest our treasures or our time and money, if we invest that into heavenly things, that's where our heart's going to be. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Maybe you didn't understand that. If we invest our treasures, which is our time and our money and our time, if we invest that into heavenly things, that's where our heart's going to be. But if we invest our treasures into worldly things, that's where our heart's going to be. That's hard. That hurts. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the things of the world. Amen. You know what I think about this week? I would think about how much money is being spent to go down the road. To drive down the road. You think about that. If you got a new car or a car, more likely you got a car note. You got to buy gas for your car. And if it's a newer car, you got to have better insurance. All that takes money. All that takes more time working just so you can go down the road. What we all need is a bunch of donkeys. Be a whole lot cheaper. Might take us a while to get to church. But we get caught up in the things. When I was younger, I fished a lot. I used to fish the Red River in a little aluminum boat. My wife tell you about that. She said she's going to come out there and check on me one night. She said she's going to get out in that boat with me. She figured out real quick she'd never do that again. But out there in that Red River, you could feel that undercurrent pulling on the bottom of that boat. And it's kind of eerie feeling about the first, second time you're out there, but that's why you get used to it. But this world we live in is the same way. It's like that Red River with that undercurrent. It's trying to suck us down. It's trying to suck us down. Verse 26 here in Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Genesis chapter 2 tells us that we are made into God's image. We're made in His image. We're worth more than the birds in the air. God takes care of the birds in the air. He'll take care of us. We're His children. We've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. We've given our lives to Him. So why are we worrying? Why are we caught up on what we're going to do tomorrow? What we're going to do next week? What's going to happen when I retire? Why are we so caught up in it? The Word of God, Jesus tells us not to worry. Give it to Him. I had a load on me this morning, and that's the second time this week that I've dumped it on the altar. But you know what? I dumped it the first time, and I went back and picked it up, and I went to worrying about it again. So y'all pray for me this week that I just leave it here at the altar. Because I don't want to carry it no more. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm just going to leave it to the Lord. Y'all pray for me. I need it. I need y'all's prayers. We need y'all's prayers. But we're made in God's image. God created us. He loves us. He can take care of us. Just like He takes care of those birds and air. He'll take care of us. If we just trust in Him. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Is worrying, is it going to make us any bigger or make us live any longer? No. I remember when I was a teenager, I was skinny. I was the skinniest teenager you ever seen. And that just killed me, you know. I wanted to be big and strong. So I decided I was gonna fatten up. So I started drinking milk. I got to where I was drinking a gallon of milk every day. A gallon of milk. And that wasn't bad when the cow was in, but when I had to go down to Woodworth Corner Store and buy that milk, that was kind of tough. But a gallon of milk because I wanted to be bigger. And truth is, moral of this story, milk will fatten you up. It just takes a while. Milk will fatten you up, but worrying, that's another story. That ain't going to do nothing. That ain't going to do nothing but cause you problems. It's not going to make you any bigger, and instead of giving you a longer life, worrying will shorten your life. Shorten your life. Worrying causes stress, and stress causes the old ticker to misfire or sometimes to quit. Not only does worry cause stress, and stress causes the old ticker to quit, it just makes us miserable. So why do we worry? Why do we worry? Worrying will also snatch your joy from you. I can tell you for sure that's the truth. Worrying will take that joy from us. If we aren't careful, we'll lose our joy living in the present if we keep worrying about the future. Think about that. If we aren't careful, we'll lose our joy living in the present if we keep worrying about the future. So it just snatches it right from us. There's two thieves out there. Or two robbers, two joy robbers. The regret of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Verses 28-29. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Here it is, them flowers out there in the field, boy, when they pretty, they pretty. They don't do anything. Lord makes them pretty. Lord takes care of them. They don't work. They don't make their clothing. God just blesses them. God just gives them that. He wants to do the same thing for us. And for some of us, He's got a lot of work to do. You know, but God wants to bless us. But we just got to quit worrying. We've got to just lay it at the altar and just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. You know, if we're going to be the Christian God wants us to be, you know, we've got to be careful with all this worry. We've got to just give it to the Lord. But Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as one of those flowers. Think about that. Solomon, in all his glory, it says here in 29, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That hit me like a 2x4 upside the head. O you of little faith. Think about that. We're supposed to trust in God. We give our lives to Him. Do we trust Him? If we're worrying, we're not trusting. If we're worrying, we're doing what they call sinning. That's pure old sin. Because we're not trusting. Oh, you of little faith. 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I just, every time I read this scripture, I think about them folks down there in Mexico. And maybe not all of them, but most of them we knew down there, they just didn't have a whole lot. You go open their cabinet door up, if they even had a cabinet door, you wouldn't see nothing in there. Not any kind of food. You might see a few plates or something. But they didn't get up all caught up into this, what they was going to eat, what they was going to wear. In the mornings, they'd maybe eat breakfast about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they'd take some beans left over from yesterday. They'd smash them, make some refried beans out of them, smear them on a tortilla, and eat them a taquita. And that was it. They didn't have some kind of fancy breakfast. And for their evening meal or their 3 o'clock meal, if the husband had worked that day, he brought that money home, he made it that day. The wife went down to the store right on the corner, not to Sam's, not to Walmart, not to Super One, nothing like that. But she just went right there, and she bought just enough stuff to make a meal for them to eat that day. And that's the way their lives are. Simple. And they don't have a lot of meat. We think we can't live without eating meat. You know, they might have a little bit of chicken or some type of meat that they call beef. Right across one of the big grocery stores where we live, or right there in the town, was a meat packing plant, and every day you see trail loads of horses going in. But they didn't worry about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear. They just trusted in the Lord. You know, we have been blessed with so much that I think sometimes it's caused us more grief. Because now we got to have more and more and more. You know, we just don't trust in the Lord to just give us what we need. We're not satisfied with the minimum. We got to have more. And if we don't have it, we go to worrying about it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got to trust in the Lord. I think about these younger generations. You know, the younger generations, they got a lot they can learn from us. Older generations. Amen. But you know what? I thought about this week too. There's something we can learn from them. There's something we can learn from them. They just happy-go-lucky. As my brother-in-law says, they just kind of bebopping along. Bebopping along. Hey, we so stressed out, we can't bebop along. We so worried about everything that we forgot how to enjoy life. We need to learn from the young ones. Not everything, but some of the things. We need to learn how to enjoy life. We need to learn how to just trust in God. Give it to Him. Verse 32. I'm trying to hurry, preacher. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. All these things the Gentiles seek. You know, it's one thing for the lost people to get caught up in the things of the world and to worry about this and worry about that and all this. You know, that's normal for a lost person to do that. You know, that's not unusual. It's okay, really. Because they lost. They better be worrying because they're going to burn. You know, but for us as Christians, it's not okay. It's not the right thing to do. That's not what Jesus teaches us in His Word. He teaches us just the opposite, that we should be different from the Gentiles. We should not go and do as they do. Just because they're worrying and all caught up in the world, where are they going to invest their money, and where are they going to do this, and where are they going to do that? You know, that's one thing. But for us, hey, we need to be focused on things of above. We need to have our mind set on serving the Lord. We need to be caught up in Him. We need to just give it all to Him and trust in Him to meet our needs. I'm not telling you to go out and quit your jobs tomorrow. If you do, you better, be able to make you a garden and get you some pigs like I'm doing. But that's not what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, we need to trust more in the Lord. Trust less in ourselves and more in Him. Amen. I think we all need to do that. We're walking too much by sight and too little by faith. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Little Spanish, that scripture would say, Busca primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia. Just had to practice that. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, with our words, oh yeah, we seeking the Lord. But what is our actions saying? You know, our actions speak for us so many times. We're not seeking God first in our lives. We're seeking what we want out of life. I've been praying this week, or we've been praying for several weeks now, for God's will in our life. And I'm not going into any detail, but we were just praying for what God wanted us to do. And if this certain thing wasn't God's will, well, then Lord, just shut the door. Well, it looks like He's going to shut that door. And now, oh, Lord, why you shut that door? You know what I mean? Ah, that's what I wanted to do. But, you know, He knows all that. He knows what's best for George. And if that's His will, if He shuts that door, hey, praise Him for it. I might not understand it right now, but one day I will. So we're just going to trust in Him. This world might be out of control, and we might be out of control, but our Heavenly Father, He's got a grip on it. He's in control. No matter what happens, God is in control. Genesis 18 tells us, or it's a question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Hey, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything that your God cannot do? He's got a grip on it. He's in control. Even when we're out of control, God is in control. He can handle it. Nothing is too big and nothing is too hard for our Lord. He can take care of all our problems. He can take care of all our worries. He can take care of all our cares, our concerns, and our needs if we just let Him. All we got to do is just give it to the Lord. Verse 34, we finish up right here. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Boy, that's a lot of truth in that. Listen to this. Don't worry about tomorrow, for you did enough of that yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow, because we did enough of that yesterday. We've done worried about tomorrow. We don't need to worry about tomorrow no more. We need to just trust in the Lord. There are three words in these 10 scriptures that will point us a way to victory over sin, or over worry, which is sin. Three words. Number one, you see in verse 30, the word faith. To have victory over worry, we have to put our faith and trust in God to meet our needs. Simple as that. We just have to trust in God. We have to have faith in Him that He will take care of us. Just like the birds in the air. They're in God's hands. We're His children. We're made in His image. We just have to have faith in Him and He will take care of us. Romans tells us that nothing can snatch us out of the hands of the Lord. We're in His hands. We just have to trust in Him. The second thing is, verse 32, we see the word Father. We have to know our Father. Do you know your Father? Do you know? If you really knew your Father, you'd be trusting in Him. When it comes right down to it, if we really knew our Father like we ought to know our Father, we wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't have to worry. Because we would know that He's taken care of. We would know that He's in control. We would know that He's not going to let us down if we just knew our Father the way the Word tells us we need to know our Father. Know your Father. Know your Father. I challenge you this week to know your Father. Draw closer to the Lord. Know your Father. The third thing, or the last word we'll see, is in verse 33. The word first. To have victory over worry, we have to put God's will first in our life so He would be glorified. Put God's will first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As Christians, as born-again, blood-washed believers, do we have God first in our lives? Are we seeking Him? Are we seeking His will? Are we seeking our own will? Have God first in your life. Trust in the Lord. Lay it at the altar. Leave it at the altar. Don't worry. God is in control. God loves you. He loves you enough to save you from the pits of hell. Leave it in the hands of the Lord.
That they didn't need to hear that tonight. Amen. And maybe tonight, and George asked me if I'd give the invitation, and that's why I said I'd be back up here in a minute. And maybe tonight you have a problem with worry. I didn't know what George was going to preach on, and I don't ask that. That's between him and the Lord. But maybe tonight there's something that's just wearing your socks off. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Listen to that. By prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen, worry, as George said, is useless. It won't do nothing for you, but put you in the grave. And, hey, take it from me. You say, well, you're not a worrier, are you, preacher? Well, I've got my worries. And I've got to bring them, like George said, before the Lord. And, hey, unless you come face-to-face with your worries, you'll never get past them. Unless you get before the Lord and say, Lord, whether it's the what-ifs of tomorrow or, as George said, the regrets of yesterday, unless you face off with them, it'll be like sand in a machine. It'll eat you alive. You know, let me tell you one of my worries tonight. One of my big worries is this church. I had an hour meeting with the finance committee for church tonight. And I have some worries. You say, what are your worries, preacher? I'm worried about leadership. That's what I'm worried about. And, you know, I'm glad George shared that verse. Perfect. Right on. I know it's the will of God. I know God spoke here tonight. He spoke to me. You know, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. Let me read you this verse in Luke 18. It's about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, you remember the story? He said, and I'm not going to preach no message. George said enough, but I do want you to listen. He come to Jesus, and Jesus said, look. He said, remember the word of God we talked about this morning? Jesus said, he said to him, good master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? That's what the rich young ruler said. Now, this rich young ruler had everything. I mean, he had all the riches that a man needed and all this. And Jesus said, don't call me good unless you're going to call me God. That is, don't give a mental assent to me unless your life is for me. Okay? And you're trusting me. That's what Becky's playing right now. Only trust him. And I didn't ask her to play that either, but she, the only trust him. And that's what Jesus was telling that rich young ruler. Look, you're either going to trust me or not. Amen. But then he, watch what happened. He said, look, don't commit, Jesus said, don't commit adultery. You know the commandments. Don't kill. Like, remember what George said a while ago? Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Oh, yeah, look, that's fine, man. I got that. Look, all those things pretty relatively easy. But then Jesus dropped a bombshell on him. And you know what he told him? He told that rich young ruler, he said, yet one thing thou lackest. He said, you go and you sell all that you have. And you give it away. And you come and follow me. And that next verse is probably one of the saddest verses of a human in the Bible about a man. It says, and when he heard this, that is, he heard the word of God. And here's what he did. He turned around and he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. What does that mean, preacher? That means he had all his stuff, but his stuff had him. And he worried more about his stuff than about following the Lord Jesus Christ with everything that he had. I want you to chew on that for a minute. He had all of his stuff, and yet he worried so much about... What was his worry? His worry was, man, I can't make it without all my stuff now. I got to have my money. I got to have my car. I got to have my fine clothes. I got to have this big house. I got to have all these things in order to live. After all, you got to live. But he forgot that none of us have to live. But we have to die and stand before the Lord and give an account of the things done in our body, whether they're good or bad. You ain't got to live. So my question is, why do we get so worried about all this thing called life? And I'm preaching to me. George was preaching to him and me, but I'm preaching to me. Why do we get worried about this thing called life? Because we don't really have to live. But we're going to die, and that's a promise. And that man went away. He went away sorrowful. And then Jesus said, remember those words? He said in verse 24, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now watch the next verse. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, those rich men. Oh, yeah, that's right. Man, the guys with money, they're going to have a hard time getting into heaven. Let me tell you something. I'm looking across this crowd tonight, from these young people right here all the way to the oldest ones. I don't see a poor person here. Say, well, I ain't got no million, preacher. Listen, you are richer than 99% of the rest of the world sitting in this room tonight. And you know what? It makes it hard. Don't it, Jordan? It makes it hard. With the good things that we have, the blessings, manifold blessings of the grace of God, it makes it hard for us. Hard for what, preacher? We get so worried about our comfort and our fun and our things that it makes it hard for us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Makes it hard. Because, after all, we got to live. We take God and throw him on the back burner. And take the church and throw it to the side and say, look, life's about me first and everything else. When I'm taking care of me, when I get mine, then I'll have a little time for the Lord. And God says, no. Yet one thing thou lackest. You got to be willing to sell out and only trust me. And when we see that, my worries when I talk about leadership is that we don't have that. Where people are just selling everything out and saying, look, I'll serve him to the day I die. Let come what may. Have it all or have nothing. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Is it worth it? That's a question. Is it worth it? Jesus said in that next verse. Now watch this, because if we're not careful, we'll think, well, man, I'm out. It ain't worth it. I mean, after all, man, look, bro, you know, sell everything, give it to the poor. I mean, man, I want my stuff. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, I'm still reading there. He said, "Verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Hey, folks, listen to me. It's worth it. Amen. Only when we realize that He's worth it will we sell out and quit worrying about the things of this world, George. Amen. Only when we realize, really realize. George made a statement, sticks with me. They said, "Know your God. For when you know your God, then you will come to know that He is worth it. He's worth it all." And when we realize He's worth it all, then we'll sell it all out. We'll live for His glory and quit worrying about the things of this world. And on top, the icing on the cake, as He said, and if you do, you know this. You may, listen, you may leave wife and brethren and parent and children and all these things for my sake. Now what he's not saying, look, leave your wife and get a divorce and serve the Lord. He's not saying, you know, leave your parents, never talk to them again and serve the Lord. But He's saying, look, when I become before everything in your life, when I'm first, when you're seeking me first, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, He said in His Word, He said, I'm going to give you manifold more, is what my Bible reads. Watch here, in this present time and in the days that are to come in everlasting life. Amen. So here's the question tonight, thus been said. How many of us are guilty tonight, stand guilty of just flat old, useless, no account, no good worry over things pertaining to this world? And we've worried so much that it's taken us away from serving in the kingdom of God. It's occupied our minds more than our service to our Master. Then this invitation's for you. Amen? To lay it down, as George said. Lay it down and leave it. I know what I did sitting right over there a while ago. I said, "Lord, forgive me." And here's why. Because I'm worried about leadership. That's three times I've told you that tonight. I'm worried that I told my wife today, was come home from lunch and had a good dinner. Sunday dinner, was driving home. I said, "You know, baby, where are the leaders that you don't have to worry about in the church?" I'm talking about people, old people, middle-aged people, people who are just going to be in places, positions of leadership roles in the church that you don't have to worry about them just saying no more. People that will just stand up and be counted until the Lord takes them home. See, I worry about that. We got a lot of youngins. We need to be training leaders and all this. And God, what we're going to do? The harvest is white. The church is growing. And Lord, I see things coming in the future that, God, if it all falls on me, Lord, it's going to crush me. Just one or two of us who can't handle it. And I worry about it. But I ain't worried about it no more. I'm going to lay it down. And I'm going to trust that, listen, God wants anybody to be a leader. God's going to raise up a leader. And I'm going to do my dead level best to help equip leaders. And all that good stuff. But I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to lay it down. And let God's Spirit be in. Just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. I want you to bow your head and let the Lord speak to you tonight on this issue. Listen. One thing thou lackest. Sell all that you have. Sell it off. Just sell out. That's what He said. I wonder how many dads need to sell out tonight. How many husbands need to just sell out tonight. How many moms here need to sell out? Lay all your worries aside and say, "Look, I'm tired of this. And Lord, I dedicate my life to You wholly tonight to seek You first in everything." Then this altar's open. If you want to come tonight, we pray you'll come and just lay your worries down. turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ.